Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And good morning. Welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by Weston Brown. It is Thursday, October 10th. Beautiful morning outside. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. Good morning indeed. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Feel fresh.
Fresh?
Yeah.
It's a good descriptive word.
Yeah.
Why?
Got my morning started early today. I was up at like 6:30.
For what?
Had to go to the dentist.
The dentist at 6:30?
Well, no. I woke up at 6:30. The dentist appointment was at 8.
Why'd you wake up an hour and a half before your dentist appointment?
Because It wasn't here in Knoxville.
You had to go all the way to Granger County this morning?
I did.
And it's only 10:04 a.m.?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been moving and grooving today.
Yeah.
And here I thought, you know, I left the apartment. I thought you just might have, you know, gotten up a couple minutes before me as usual and taken off a couple minutes before.
No.
You basically gone out and run a marathon so far.
I've drove about 100 miles this morning.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's one way to start a day.
Yeah, feel good.
Are you tired?
No, I feel great.
That is fantastic.
I feel great.
All right, round of applause.
Like, the getting up part is terrible. And like,
oh, the worst.
Like, but give me 30 minutes to wake up. Let me get the blood flowing.
Yeah.
I feel great. I love this. I love getting up early. Except for the actual getting up part.
Yeah, that is the hardest part. Like, I remember having to fill in on Three and Out one time over the summer. You know, when we all had to do it, we all were kind of making those rounds, and the getting up part at 6:30 was just miserable. But also, like, on the flip side of things, there's really nothing better than driving around the roads. You know, in the morning when the sun's just coming up, no one's really on the roads yet. It's a pretty good time.
But yes,
you just got to get yourself there.
But yeah, so I go to the dentist. I don't like the dentist. Like, I like the feeling afterwards. Your teeth are clean, but I feel like you get judged a lot at the dentist.
Well, yeah, because whenever you go, because you can always get improvement at the dentist.
Yeah, like you're just, right? You're laying there. I mean, you're very vulnerable. You're just laying there on your back looking up into that light.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the light of doom, to where somehow if you look right into it, it's still not really in your eyes either.
Yeah, but then they kind of move it sometimes,
yeah, and
it blinds you.
Yeah.
But she's just like the whatever they call them, the dental assistant. She's cleaning your teeth, and then the dentist will come over. And he just hovers over you, and he's like, "How's he looking?" Like, "Oh, good, good. And keep up the good work."
Yeah. And then, yeah, being a dentist seems kind of easy. That is kind of what they do, right? They just walk over. They kind of pull your lip to the side. They look around, and they're like, "All right, it all checks out. Good to go."
The little reflective circle they put in your mouth to see.
The little mirror thing?
Yeah.
You know what I hate about the dentist? I hate it when you have, like, an overly chatty dental assistant.
That's what I was
because,
about
to say. Because, hey, you're working in the mouth region here, right? So like you are just prying at my mouth, like gritting my gums all over the place.
It's like, you expect me to talk?
I can't be in a conversation right now. Right. I'm very sorry. It's just difficult.
And you think they would know that, but some of these.
Some of them, they're just very chatty.
Yeah, I mean, and that's nothing wrong with that, but just understand it's kind of hard to talk back.
I'm trying to think of, like, so out of the all the different kinds of doctors you can go to, right? Just like your little appointments, right? Not anything major, not like a hospital. Is dentist your least favorite?
Oh no, I'd rather go to the dentist than go to like the doctor.
Yeah.
All those other sick people in there.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah. Man, that's my number one, like, most fearful place is hospitals. By far. Yeah. Number one most fearful. And I can't do it. I can't do all the medical stuff. Makes me queasy.
Yeah, no thanks.
Brandon, let me start out the sports conversation by just kind of running this by you today, right?
Okay.
You look at the last year, and you kind of look at the overall odds-on favorites to every single sport, right, that has a championship.
The last year?
Yeah. So in 2019, basically from the World Series onwards. I mean, not the World Series, the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I guess the only one that I'm really discluding is the NFL because the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right, and they were one of the best teams the whole year. But Alabama was the best team in the college football season, the entire season. Spent by far the most weeks at number one. Did not end up winning the championship. You have the NHL. You have the Tampa Bay Lightning. Didn't even make it out of the first round. They had one of the best, if not the best, regular season in NHL history. Did not make it out of the first round. The Golden State Warriors were pretty much the best team going into the basketball season last year. Did not win the championship. What's another one I'm forgetting right now? Okay, college basketball.
Yeah, Duke.
Duke spent by far the most amount of the year being number one, being in the top spot, by far the biggest odds on favorite to win the championship. Didn't get it. And now, as of last night, two out of the four absolute favorites,
I mean,
both in the National League.
Top two in the National League.
Out! And just, how do you even explain what was yesterday for the extremes of both, right? The extremes of going from Atlanta to where they let up, what it was, at 13 in the first?
10 in the first.
And then just a series kind of as the game got on. So first you have the early game where the early scoring happened. And then you had 9 innings of baseball where you knew the game was over. You had 3 hours of baseball where you pretty much knew this game was over 25 minutes into it.
Yeah, and credit to those Braves fans for kind of sticking it out.
Yeah. I mean, you pay for a ticket to postseason baseball, you probably want to stick it out. But
I mean,
then,
when your team gives up 10 runs in the first,
yeah,
it's pretty much over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I might have just gone home. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you're going home.
But then, to flip the whole thing around, like 6 hours later, and I can't remember what time this was at, but I feel like it was past midnight last night, to have a walk, or not a walk-off, but a go-ahead grand slam in extra innings to take down one of the odds-on favorites to win the entire World Series. I mean, how do you even talk about yesterday? The extremes of both are unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that Dodgers game especially, I mean, that one was pretty close, and then the Dodgers kind of do what, I mean, they start out doing pretty good. I mean, you get, you almost hit a home run off Strasburg. It gets reviewed, and I think it's a ground rule double. But then the next guy up, Max Muncy, he hits another home run. They're up 2-0 on the Nationals. Hit first postseason home run against Strasburg. And then did they do it again? Did they score another? And I know they scored another run. I can't remember exactly how, but made it 3-0. And then I think it's 3-1. And then you bring in Clayton Kershaw.
That's right.
And Anthony Rendon and Soto hit home runs and tie that thing at 3.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is it was 2 pitches, 2 home runs.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And, yeah, hate to do it, but everybody's going to be asking the question, right? Does that game last night, does that define Clayton Kershaw?
It has to cement him as the face of choking in professional American sports, right?
And I don't know if that's fair or not. I mean, because there's no denying that he's a great pitcher.
I don't know. I think it is fair because even though we don't like to believe it, you know, and even though the narrative has turned in the last couple of years, I would say maybe the last 6 years with kind of the end of his career too, but a lot of the country looked for a long time at Peyton Manning as a huge playoff choker, right? And this is still a guy who ended his career with more wins than losses in the postseason and, you know, had almost a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, right? Which obviously doesn't give the full narrative, but so you can even have those stats, and people are still going to label you as a choker. And so I think that Clayton Kershaw is way beyond that level. That's the thing, too, is I think that you automatically build yourself more of a case to be a choker the better you are in the regular season, right? And the better he's been throughout his career. Because if you're just a bad pitcher in the playoffs, but you're also just an average pitcher in the regular season, it's like it's not so much choking as just, hey, you know, you're not that great to begin with. But when you're Clayton Kershaw and you are Cy Young winning, Cy Young contending pitching a pitcher and just one of the faces of that position in the sport, and that's the kind of postseason outings you have, I think that you're probably the unquestioned face of it now.
And then Howie Kendrick goes on, like you said, Rick. He hits that go-ahead grand slam there in the 10th, and that just kind of broke the back of the Dodgers. Howie Kendrick, former Dodger. But, yeah, I would agree with – I mean, it's just – because I was never – obviously, with us being Tennessee fans, the Peyton argument, we took that a little different because we were Tennessee fans and we viewed it a little different.
We're biased.
But I still – it just – I think, I mean, you can appreciate the guys that are good in the regular season, but I don't know how you look at those guys, the ones that can never get over the hump. I mean, like, I guess Marino is a good example of that. Just a great great quarterback, never could win the big one. But yeah, I think that game is going to go a long way in kind of defining Clayton Kershaw and especially his postseason performances.
His last 4 appearances in the postseason: loss, 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 blown save. I think that, and you're right. It's like, it's unfortunate. You never want to call somebody a choker like that. When people called Peyton a choker, it was like, like, that's such a stupid thing to say. Like, there's so much more than that, right? Like, yes, Peyton Manning might not have played as good as he did in the regular season, but, like, to call him, you know, the face of choking in, you know, professional sports, in a team sport, is just ridiculous. And so, you know, you kind of keep that in mind when you do think about Kershaw, but at the same time, you know, the pitcher alone is responsible for getting the ball over the plate.
Yeah, and I mean, you have guys on your team that play defense, but when they're hitting home runs off you, there's not much defense that can be played.
Yeah.
And that's what happened when he gives up those two home runs there to Soto and Rendon. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. Phil, hold right there. Come to you on the other side. Talk a little baseball, a little Tennessee football. Got some news on the quarterback position. News that we kind of all expected, but now it is final. The decision has been made. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
From Phil. Good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, fabulous Ricardo Burton. Butler.
Are you calling me a burden in your life today? Is that the notion that I'm getting at?
No, the Atlanta Braves are a burden. How's you and Brandon doing?
Doing good this morning, Phil.
In a way, I'd rather choke like the Dodgers did last night than the way the Braves just totally laid down and got, you know.
Which way is it worse to lose? Just getting absolutely blown out in the middle to the beginning of the game, or losing in heartbreak and extra, overtime or whatever?
It hurts more if you get beat like the Dodgers did. But
right.
When you get beat like the 10 runs in the first inning, which has never happened, ever, right?
Yeah, that was most runs scored in the first inning ever in a playoff game.
And you want to talk about a choker? Herschel might be a choker, but Freddie Freeman's a choker too. Even though he don't have the experience that Kershaw has in the playoffs, but Freddie Freeman, when it's nut cutting time, cannot deliver.
Yeah, you could definitely make that argument.
And the one thing about the Dodgers is they'll fire their manager for not getting to the World Series, but the Braves will keep that sorry snicker as a manager because they don't care about winning championships. That's the reason why they'll never do anything down there. I'm a New York Yankee fan now.
You think the Dodgers will fire Dave Roberts?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he's at blame that's the big criticism right now is putting in Kershaw. Do you think he's at blame for that?
Well, I think he's just a mediocre manager. I think the Dodgers should at least have won a world title here and they hadn't done it.
Sure, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, Mattingly suffered from the same problems though.
Exactly. And they got rid of him, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I'd take Mattingly over Snicker.
Where is Mattingly now? I know is he still with the Marlins?
With the Marlins, yeah. Is Madden still available? I'd fire Snicker tomorrow and get Madden in there.
You want Joe Girardi, Phil?
I take Joe Girardi.
Steal him away from the Mets.
Hey, stay away. Stay away. I think Madden to the Angels is basically all but done.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of what everybody's thinking right now. Obviously things can change, but that one kind of seems to be he at least seems to be the favorite there for the Angels.
Well, the Braves, a great season they had. That's just a total fiasco. It's like Butch Jones is next to last year when Alabama got over to town and just pulled their drawers down.
Season. 2016. I can see that comparison. 2016. You get the hot start. Start 5-0. Then you have you suffer that loss to A&M. But things are okay. And then Alabama comes in here and just absolutely demolishes you. And the Braves had, like you said, Phil, had a great regular season. We're kind of poised for a big run, and choked it away.
Yeah, and they did not go out in the trading deadline and get a starting pitcher, which could have helped them, and they didn't go out and get another bat. It really could help them. But they did improve the team enough to win the division, but they did not do enough to improve the team to get to the championship of the National League.
Yeah, it's tough.
They're better than the Cardinals. It's just they choked. The first game in Atlanta, they choked, and then last game at St. Louis, all they had to do is get one more hit, and they win the game easily.
Yeah. The game one in Atlanta, I think, is the one that I think that one's going to be the one that comes that's going to stick in fans' minds is, hey, we should have won that one. That
Snicker lost that first game.
Yeah.
The way he handled the pitchers. But it is what it is, guys. And I'm tired of talking about Tennessee football. Can y'all do one thing for me? I've seen the practice videos in basketball of a number of zero on Tennessee's basketball roster. And then I saw this thing where they did some video up on the Gay Street Bridge. Y'all seen that?
I have not seen the video, no.
No. Do you know who did it?
Well, I have no idea. UT did it. They blocked off the Gay Street Bridge for 3 hours to do it.
Huh.
But I think it was this week. But there's a number zero on Tennessee's basketball roster. I have no idea who he is. Is he a walk-on?
Let's see. I'm going to do my best to figure that out for you, Phil.
I'm trying to find some of the video.
Well, maybe Trey Wallace will quit cheering for Auburn and cover UT basketball. See ya.
See ya, Phil. Let's
number zero?
Zero. Judging from the team picture right here, zero, and this is from the roster, zero is Devontae Gaines. So, freshman coming in from New York. Zero is Devontae Gaines. He is skinny as a rail.
Gaines is?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Devontae Gaines.
He reminds me of a, like if he could put on a little bit more muscle, a little bit more weight, he kind of reminds me of a Jordan McRae.
Yeah, he does fit that same kind of mold, doesn't he? He's 6'7", 175.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of a Jordan McRae.
Which is crazy because he's got like 20 pounds on me, but also 9 inches. Inches and just 20 pounds. That's a...
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a tall kid. And another guy that stands out to me is Olivier Kemwa. Number 21.
Yeah.
He's cut up.
He looks big.
Yeah. He's 6'8". I'm excited for basketball. Let's go back to the Next Door Home Group hotline. Let's get a call from Josh, who I'm sure is extremely disappointed this morning. What's up, Josh?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
It's okay,
Brandon,
Josh.
I'm going to tell you. You know, don't be a fan of, don't be excited about basketball because you know the pain's coming in it too, like it comes in everything else. You don't lose Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield, and Grant Williams, and think we're going to have some.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're going to be great, but I'm excited. I think we're going to be okay.
It's best to just find. Go buy a kayak. Start fishing or something, man.
Well, I do have a kayak.
Some woodworking.
I have a couple kayaks at my parents' house. I might just start floating down the river.
We need to go float the river.
Right? You
get y'all some smallmouth.
All
right. Phil's right. Freddie Freeman. I mean, I love the guy. He's great. He's been a great player for the Braves, but you can't go 1-16. Which he did last year in the playoffs, and then up until yesterday, he was 1-16 again. You can't have that from a guy who really is probably one of the top five players in the National League during the regular season, and you know, think you're going to do anything. 3-7, hit 150, basically up until yesterday. I think it's more to do with Georgia. And Atlanta in general.
Yeah, Atlanta sports are just cursed.
Yeah, I always thought that choke argument was kind of just a lazy take. Because I've watched this team all year, man. I've probably watched 145 games. Not kidding you. And they haven't played one game that way all year long. But seeing that yesterday, I mean, what else can you say other than they just choked.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even get home. I wasn't even home when, by the time that game started, it was 10-0. And so I don't even know how they scored those 10 runs. I mean, were there errors?
Well, one was Freeman booted a easy double play ball. He booted it. And I mean, the guy was one of gold gloves. Faulty walked two guys. McCann dropped a strike three that the guy barely even touched. I mean, hit him square in the mitt, the leadoff guy. I mean, they just basically just, they were waiting on something bad to happen. And, you know, give the Cardinals credit. They come out ready to play. The Braves just crapped the bed again.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Damn, it's disheartening. I hate sports.
Yeah, it's I've often wondered why I put myself through this. More often than not, it's pain, but the joys of winning.
I did get a little happiness though, seeing Cody's Dodgers just basically just fold like a cheap suit last night, though. I will say that.
I'll tell you this, Cody was licking his chops. Cody was licking his chops when the Braves were down 13-1.
I seen his little Chipper Jones.
And I told him last night. I said, you know, your team has a history of blowing it too. So I wouldn't get too confident. And sure enough.
I don't know, man. I just don't know what I'm going to do now. That's what sucks so bad.
There's a lot of different kind of hobbies you can try, but yeah, I don't know. Look, the idea of being a sports fan, when you really think about it, is just complete, like, chaos. You spend countless hours, days, weeks, months, years following a team for the slimmest of chances to win a championship.
Man, it was so much fun, though, honestly. This year was, I mean, it's fun, man. Nobody picked the Braves. And, you know, there's a lot I don't like about Snicker. He can't manage a pitching staff. He runs his players into the ground. That's my main problem with him. He never gives the guys days off. And usually at the end of the year, they're either battling injury or they're, you know, just fighting to keep going. And I think that's my biggest gripe with him. But they're not going to fire him. I mean, nobody picked the Braves to even be in the playoffs, man.
Right.
The guy's been in the organization for 30-some years. I mean, to think they're going to fire him, and I mean, that ain't going to happen. But
yeah, and it's crazy that everybody kind of wrote the Braves off in the division before the season started.
Well, it's the toughest division in baseball, man. That's...
Yeah.
It's like, look what the Nationals are doing. I mean, honestly, the Mets and the Phillies are better than the Cardinals, Brandon. The Cardinals are not that good. Flaherty's good. But, I mean, the Cardinals are, they're average at best, man. And we should have swept them. I mean, that's how, you know, Atlanta, we Atlanta'd it. I don't know, man.
Well, there's always next year, Josh, and I know you're a Steelers guy too, so it's not good on that front either.
And a ball.
So. Yeah, to top it all off.
Maybe our Celtics can give us some hope, Josh.
I hope so. I'm ready for it. I think I'm gonna buy the league pass, but on my luck, we'll probably play great all year and lose in the first round. But
wouldn't surprise me.
Hey, y'all hang in there. I've enjoyed the back and forth, Brandon.
Hey,
y'all take care. See you.
I appreciate the call, Josh. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, we'll take a quick break, come back, talk a little Tennessee football. And apparently,
yep.
Nate texted me during this past segment. Apparently his name is Olivier Kamhua, not Kamhua.
Really?
I like Kamhua. It flows off the tongue better, but apparently the pronunciation is Kamhua.
Kamhua.
Yeah.
Sounds,
Olivier.
That sounds Samoan.
Kamhua. It's Finnish.
Sounds Samoan, though. You know? Samhua. It sounds like it's part of like the haka. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay. All right. Moving on. We'll see you on the other side of the break. All right, back here on the Blitz. 10:40 a.m. rolling through the first hour so far. Pretty much just stayed with the MLB playoffs for the first 30, 40 minutes of the show. But let's look local now. Brandon, you teased this off the top of the hour today. But in some very expected news, Tennessee names their starting quarterback for Saturday at noon versus Mississippi State.
Yep, so Brian Maurer will start again, which is what we all had hoped for and all kind of expected, especially after his performance and then his comments on Monday saying that he'd have to have a bad week of practice for him not to start. And then he comes out yesterday and names Brian Maurer as your starting quarterback. I like it. I think it's funny how he always waits to do that until after his media availability on Wednesday. Like anything that's going to, it's always after the media availability on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the more I think about it, that is true. Obviously, it's got to be intentional, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing goes on over there that's not done with some purpose. I mean, it's high level. I mean, they know what's going on. It's not a coincidence.
But yeah, so you get Brian Maurer, and that's what we all expected, and I think it's the right move to go ahead and establish that in the middle of the week. You know, I don't think you're really fooling anybody by coming out and saying that, you know, you don't know who your starting quarterback is going to be. I think anybody with a brain, especially the people at Mississippi State, believed that Brian Maurer was going to be your starting quarterback this week, was going to be the guy that Tennessee was going to go to all game long. And now, by admitting that, you don't lose any kind of surprise factor because I don't really think that was there in the first place. You know, but now it's just it's a good nod of confidence. You know, you're telling the other team, you're telling the media, you're telling the public before you need to. You know, before, I guess, see, here's the other thing I'm thinking about now. Jeremy Pruitt kind of set it up to where, you know, he wasn't going to make a decision. But then I think when you then come back a couple days later and say, you know what, we have made our decision. It will be Brian Maurer. He will go out and be the starting quarterback. You know, I think he obviously probably set that up. But hey, you go out there and you back your guy. You throw some confidence his way. And we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's going to help Brian Maurer, it's simple, but I think the biggest thing that's going to help him going forward this season is for Jim Chaney and this coaching staff to design plays that make him feel comfortable and for us to run the ball, use our running backs. I think we have a good stable of running backs. I think that Ty Chandler, Tim Jordan, and Eric Gray are, I mean, obviously your running backs at Georgia and Alabama and LSU are probably better, but I feel like they are a good trio of running backs in the SEC.
Yeah.
Give them the ball. Let them create plays. Let them work. Maurer can sling it around like he did on Saturday, but I think the best thing for this team is to try to establish the run. And then, I mean, I think they would want to be very balanced offensively. But for some reason, I don't think they give any of the running backs enough carries. I would like to see Chandler get a whole lot more touches than what he has been getting.
Well, yeah, and I think the good thing for Tennessee is that, you know, these three guys, I guess maybe Tim Jordan is kind of the more generic, or I guess, I don't want to say the most generic out of the three, because that makes it sound like I'm going over the top. I'm not. I'm just saying that, you know, he's your average running back. But between Chandler and between Gray, you have two very dynamic running backs who can do very different great things.
Not so fast.
What? What?
Jeremy Pruitt yesterday. You know what he had to say?
No.
Unprompted. Unprompted. Not even asked.
Just came out and said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One guy that's really stuck out to me in the last week with how he's played and how he's competed, really going all the way back to the Auburn game of last season, is Tim Jordan. When he's gotten his opportunities, he's continued to work hard, play good on special teams, and it's been good to see him out there getting it going. Tim's a guy that really likes the ball and has been a really good practice player for us.
I thought of a better word. I said it's kind of the most generic. That wasn't the right word. I think the better word is probably he's the most balanced, right, between pass catching, between running, I think. And then you have Eric Gray, who we've seen be, you know, very dynamic at times, kind of in the passing game when you can get him a swing pass, a screen pass, or you can just run him on a good route. And then we've seen, I believe at least, Ty Chandler be the best running back, you know, we have in terms of actually running the football. And so we said that yesterday. You know, we feel good, at least, I think, about our running game. And so if we're talking about the offense going into next week, or I guess going into this Saturday, man, like, if there's one place I don't want to be conservative, it is the quarterback position, right? I don't want to limit Maurer and feel the need to baby him into his passes, because he didn't do that last week, you know? So to do it this week would be a little bit mind-boggling against a worse team in a less, you know, in a lesser environment. So do not handcuff him. But when you're doing that, you got to still lean on the run game.
Well, no, I don't want him to handcuff him. I just think I think for us, for Tennessee offensively, I think you're better off running the ball. Throwing, I mean, I felt like on Saturday they threw across the middle a lot.
Yeah.
And I like that. It wasn't long down the field, but just enough. Maybe five to 10 yards. Just little chunks.
And then
every now and then you take that shot. You take the big shot down the field. That's what I want to see.
I'm surprised you're a fan of passing over the middle after watching Austin Colley play football for so many years.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that guy up to nowadays?
I don't know.
Probably talk about a guy who just got his bell rung a couple too many times as Austin Colley. Anyways,
Bell rung.
More like...
concussed.
Yes. The crack in the Liberty Bell, I think, is probably a better explanation. But I guess kind of my final thought on that is, I think that those two things complement each other, right? Like, I think that if you go more towards the run game this game, right? Like, if you make it a priority to prioritize the run game, I think that gives you better opportunities to then go out and take more risks with your quarterback, right? Because you're not facing a situation where you're like, well, if we miss this on first and 10, you know, we haven't gotten more than 3 yards on a rush the entire first two quarters so far, so we don't have any faith in that. I think that you can throw it deep on first down because you do have the ability to come back and get 4, 5, 6 yards on second or third down, whichever one you need. So I think they complement each other. Final segment of hour number one. Not final segment of the show. Final segment of the first hour. Still got a whole nother hour leading you up until 12 o'clock noon. We'll see you on the other side of the break. This is The Blitz. Here's a couple of tidbits here for you, as we only have a couple minutes left in the first hour. First off, breaking news. Gabe Kapler is out in Philadelphia. The Phillies fire Kapler after just two seasons. Goes 81-81 this year after adding Bryce Harper to the lineup. Still only fourth in the NL East, I believe it is, yeah.
The Phillies asked him a question.
The Filthies. Ah, that's a good one. I don't even hate the Phillies, but that's a good one. Philadelphia Filthies.
No.
No, it works in context. You know what I mean?
But you don't hate them, so you can't use it.
Ah, yeah, I'm indifferent towards the Phillies. Weston, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What will you be doing tonight? Say around 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Tonight. It's actually one of my free nights. No wrestling tonight. There's the Rays Astros. I might look into it a little bit. Other than that, I'm pretty free. No plans.
Weston, do you have interest in the Sun and the Mystics Game 5 winner take all WNBA Finals?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Do you?
Well, no, but he's our women's basketball guy, and so I'm just curious.
Whoa. Don't label him.
What do you mean?
He's our Lady Vol guy. He's not a women's basketball guy.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. I just established that. I just clarified for us.
Just because he likes
ruling out that he's not watching the WNBA Finals tonight.
Just because he likes the Lady Vols does not mean he's going to subject himself to the torture and the punishment that is watching the WNBA.
Hey, can you tell me where the two cities?
Yes.
What are they again?
Yeah. No.
Not you.
You're the expert. The Sun and the Mystics.
Connecticut.
Yes. Which one? Ah.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to go through some of these teams.
Connecticut Sun.
Yes, that is correct.
Ah, that's right.
Who are the Aces? What city is the Aces?
It has to be Vegas.
Yes. The Liberty.
Philadelphia?
No.
What? I don't know.
New York.
Oh, that's stupid.
Lady Liberty.
Oh.
Idiot.
It's dumb.
Blah, blah, blah.
Who cares? It's WNBA.
I got a question
just
for you.
Just trying
guys.
To test your knowledge of the WNBA, all right? It's
non-existent.
I know.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Something I've always thought of. You know, WNBA attendance is awful. Always has been.
Yes, because it sucks.
If they brought a team to Knoxville, do you not think it would draw at least as good as these other cities? Put them in the Coliseum. And they get at least Ice Bears attendance, I believe.
What are you doing? You're trying to bring this
a professional team.
No way. I feel
Knoxville.
Like the Ice Bears would still get way more. Like, I think the thing about I'm gonna say I could be completely wrong. I don't know. But like, I feel like the Lady Vols fans here, like, are like you, Weston. Like, you know, just because you love the Lady Vols, you know, and the storied history of that program, doesn't mean you're a WNBA fan. I feel like that's how the majority of people probably are.
Yeah. But I would watch them if they came to Knoxville, if they made it fun like the Ice Bears.
Well, that makes one of us. Hour number two coming up next.
Don't bring that to my city.